media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Hell, what a weekend that was. Well, except for Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson. Let's have some fun. We'll get to it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gal Studios in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. AJ Hoffman, the role model. No Aaron today, but Tyler Scott capably handling things if you want to get in today. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like. Send a message. Maybe Tyler will read it. I don't know. Aaron always does. No, he's going to say no. So we're going to pass on Facebook today. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You're probably not doing the Degenerates account either, are you?
No, I don't have the logins for either
okay,
of those.
So just those three. That's fine.
Lazy.
We'll keep it simple. You can text the show. You know the number for that, 713-780-3776. And you can watch us on Twitch and get in the chat room if you so desire. I don't know why you'd want to see our faces, but hey, it's another way to get in touch with
plenty
the show.
Of reasons.
Yeah?
They're all sitting on this side of the table.
Of course. Of course. It's the purple shirt. That's what it is.
That's it.
It's happening, huh?
You know, sports and stuff and Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson and that all things like that. You know what
yeah.
I mean. You know where I'm headed.
Yeah. Man, there's a lot to get to from this weekend. We got a short time to do it, but we'll get there. But let's start with your Texans and... Yeah, you know, we were talking about it a little bit this morning, and I think the frustration level with this whole Sisyphus thing, because it's the same damn thing every time. I don't know about you, but I'm just fed up with it. I'm just fed up with it.
I mean, the fact that for what now? Is this year six?
Year six.
Okay, let's put it like you've been married for over 6 years now this time.
Jesus, when you put it that way, it sounds awful.
If your wife says, we'll have sex tomorrow.
I'd be like, oh, really?
For 6 years straight, but she never had sex with you?
Yeah.
In the sixth year and she says it, do you believe her? Or are you just going to assume it's going to be status quo and you're not having sex tomorrow?
Yeah, I just laugh it off.
Bill O'Brien.
Why you got to hit so close to home with
sorry.
That?
After every loss, it's the same thing. I'm going to go and look, and we got to call better plays. We got to coach better. We got to come up with better plays. Okay, when are you going to actually do that? And every bonehead decision he makes, it's magnified now because he says, "Well, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to go back and I'm going to fix this," and then he never fixes it. It's like at some point. You hear it enough that you just know he's wrong. And it's just noise. It's white noise. And him saying, well, we're going to go fix it. That's white noise now because we know nothing's going to change. Are you going to let somebody else call the plays? No. Are you going to let someone else deal with personnel? No. Are you going to let someone else take care of the challenge flags? No. You let someone else pay attention to clock management? No. Nothing's going to change. And I'll be honest. Last week, I was fooled. I bitched about the Texans when they won the first or when they lost the first game. I bitched about them when they won against Jacksonville. And then week three against the Chargers, I was like, okay, maybe I was wrong. You know what? Maybe I was a little bit off base. Maybe they're onto something here. They beat Phillip Rivers on the road. I mean, it's like... You start to think, well, maybe you got to give them some credit. And then this happens. And this is one of the, I mean, the scoreboard won't say this. This is one of the more embarrassing losses since Bill O'Brien's been here. Because.
After a week after we thought he had one of his best.
Yeah. I mean, this was, not. I mean, it was a poorly played game by the players too. Make no mistake, these players are not guilt-free. in this thing. Deshaun Watson sucked, and we'll get to him eventually.
Yeah. Well, I want to say this. The defense did its job.
Agreed. That, although, I mean, God, Christian McCaffrey is just...
Well, he's incredible, and he's going to do that to a lot of people. And, man, the catch he made that... Well, but we'll get to that challenge.
But did the defense do their job against Kyle Allen, or did the defense...
Well, they forced three turnovers. What else do you want them to do?
Again, you're talking about a guy who's making his second start, and he's putting the football on the ground every time he gets touched.
Which they forced. I mean, I'm not going to put any of this on the defense. Yeah, would it have been nice if J.J. had gotten that sack at the end?
Yeah, you're right. I'll say the defense played well. The defense should play that well against Kyle Allen,
well, sure
in
they
my
should.
Opinion.
But, I mean, you hold that team to 16 points. You're supposed to win the game.
But there's a couple things that stood out to me. I mean, the challenge on the McCaffrey thing is ridiculous.
That was
an obvious catch. And his explanation was so scattered that I don't even really know what he was trying to BS us with. Like, what was your... Who are you trying to pull the wool over on, Bill? That's a garbage explanation.
And if you didn't see it, basically he said, well, he might have caught the ball, but
no, I thought he caught it. Yeah. I thought he caught the ball, and then I thought he slid, but he was giving himself up.
His exact quote was, I felt like it was, he landed and slid, and so I felt like I could challenge the spot and the catch, but I felt like he probably did catch the ball, but I challenged both things. Really, the spot and the catch. She said he slid, and declared himself down, basically,
no.
to get the... No, he didn't.
No,
he slid.
That's not how it works.
No, it's this in college, Bill.
declared himself down. Well, he's not a quarterback, first of all.
Right. But there's plenty of things to be critical of here, but this, to me, was the most glaring bleep-up of the entire game because it cost you a timeout in a tight game, and if you have that timeout, you at least have a fighting chance at the end where... Even though Watson had sucked all day, he's shown an ability to make plays at the end of games. So that, to me, is the one thing that you point at. I mean, there's plenty of things to point at.
Well,
but that was the number one bleep up in the entire game. And it's Bill O'Brien's clock management again. And he even answered a question where he said, well, I guess it was Brian T. Smith asked it about, well, you had problems in the Jacksonville game. He's like, no, I thought Jacksonville was fine. He just doesn't get it. He really doesn't understand game theory and game strategy at all. And it's never changed. It's been that way for 6 years. What the hell do we expect?
It's funny because you say that. It also, I'm not sure. I mean, it might have been the second most embarrassing moment of the game because that the play call with DeAndre Hopkins throwing that ball, in no world did that make any sense.
Yeah, here's
like it was the first time they were really like starting to drive the ball. You get the fumble. You're at what, midfield-ish, and you drive 30 yards, and now you're inside the 20, and you're like, you know what? This is the first real offensive momentum we've had all game. I know what we'll do. We'll let our receiver throw a pass. Which, by the way, Carolina's coverage, and again, this is the problem with letting receivers throw a pass. I even think Deshaun was yelling at him to not throw it.
Yeah.
Because Deshaun knew. As soon as he saw it, he knew. But, of course, you put the ball in a wide receiver's hands. He's going to throw the ball. Let's face it.
Right, because it's his only chance.
Yeah, he's throwing.
He doesn't get to do it.
I mean, just a... But the rea- and it's, you know, I don't even really want to blame DeAndre for that because... He should have never been in that position to have to make that throw. No. Like, it should have never happened.
And let's look at the whys. It's a dumb move. Because trick plays can be game changers both ways, right? You try one and it doesn't work, then this happens. You try one and it does work, you catch him off guard. Okay, so when is the time to do that? It's not when you're sitting on a first down in position to score a touchdown. When you're in a game where a field goal might be enough here. Usually, I'm the one saying, oh, you're being too conservative. But in that situation, I'd rather you run the ball three times. And if you don't get it, fine. Kick the field goal. Get the hell out of there. To do something like that, it turned into a game changer, all right.
Yep.
And, yes, a receiver who's making that play, he's not going to throw the ball away. It's like, oh, this is my chance to throw a touchdown pass. I'm trying to hit the guy, and even though he's draped in coverage. And so
and all the way across the field, no less.
Right. And my first instinct was, well, okay, was it a bad play call or a bad result? But the more you look at the situation, and
it was both. I mean, but it starts with a bad play call,
and that was his basically his explanation. Yeah, bad play call.
Why? That was his answer to everything.
Yeah.
You can say, oh, well, at least he's taking ownership. But when he's just like, whatever the question asked about the game, we just didn't play well. I got to coach better.
He said,
we got to get better.
Here's his take on the offense. It was terrible. We've got to do better. I don't know. I don't really have any answers. I've got to go back and watch the film.
Like,
I have to start that right now. That's what I'm going to do. You never have any answers.
That's the thing. Well, shouldn't we have some answers? And I'll be honest, man. This is and this will be a conversation because we're about to hit the break. I don't know if Deshaun Watson may end up being wasted here. Well, and I know that's going to be really unpopular opinion. Deshaun Watson is not nearly as good as people around here think he is. He's still got the potential to be that good. He's not that good right now. And it's not lost on me that he's not getting the greatest coaching in the world. Now, not that it's not some his fault too, but he's not getting better. He's not taking the steps that we expect at this point. I mean, this is not...
He's doing it way too inconsistently because game one, really good. Game two, horse bleep. Game three, really good. Oh, I think he's there. Game four, horse bleep. And listen, I've been higher on this guy than maybe anybody in the city. Yesterday was an abject disaster that was his fault and the head coach's fault. And you want to point, well, there's a couple other people I'm going to blame for this too. But, well, there's plenty to get to.
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Grim on the Twitch asks, will he ever top the Wattcat in all-time worst play
calls? No, because that was in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, that's the dumbest. But
yeah, this was...
This is like one... I think he had two of his maybe 5 to 10 most embarrassing moments in that game. And if earlier in the season, he had another one where he used 2 timeouts on 1 play. So the 2019 season, for being his 6th year, he's already had 3 of his 10 worst moments.
You know what I thought of? Whether it was the Kubiak, Chris Brown play...
That
one's bad.
But that's not Bill.
And then going way back, Stagger Lee with the Oilers. I don't know if you remember that when it was against the Broncos and they were on the 1 yard line and tried to do a ridiculous backwards pass trick play. But old timers will remember that one. This one is on par with that. And here's my other real concern is not that, and I've always said Bill O'Brien's a pretty average coach. And if you look around the league, there's a lot of coaches that do the same kind of stuff. Frankly, the guy on the other sideline had some boneheaded stuff going on, too. The difference was his guys made plays when they had to. The Christian McCaffrey catch. Kyle Allen ducking that sack and keeping the play alive. You know, his guys made the plays in crunch time when it counted. But Bill O'Brien, I've just talked about he's always so stubborn, he's never going to get past his flaws. I'm going to take it a step farther. I think he's regressed as a head coach. I think he's a worse head coach now than he was year one, year two, and it's been steady. And I keep hearing how smart he is because he went to Brown. Yeah, Brown's the right color of what he does. And it ain't because of the university. He's gotten worse as a head coach. And that happens. I mean, we've seen it before. But the guy is regressing. And not only is he not fixing his flaws, he's adding new ones.
It's really frustrating. And Drunk Bevo says Watson has weaknesses, but this could be a Fisher McVay golf situation. He looked great when Billy ran a more Clemson flavor offense in DW4's rookie year. No, what happened is, I mean, Bill's still trying to do that, but it's more of a just go out there and run it. But the league catches up, and he's not adjusting.
No, I don't agree. He's not doing. They were doing misdirection plays. They were doing a lot more of those like jet sweep revert. They were taking advantage of the fact they were taking advantage of play action. They were doing all kinds of cool plays, and then they came out after the year and said, "Oh, we're changing the offense," which they always do. And guess what happened?
And mind you, well, I mean, it'd be nice if. And this is what Tommy says. Isn't Tim Kelly supposed to be the OC and call plays? Yeah. I mean, you would think. Is that too much for one man? I don't know.
Well, I don't know that Tim Kelly is doing anything. I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what his job is.
Because we know O'Brien's the one that's making all the calls. But clock management, it's just – and, yeah, I don't know if you saw Brian C. Smith's column today. He was pretty harsh on O'Brien. He brought up the fact that a couple years ago, he's like, I don't want to hear about clock management. That's because you don't know what the hell you're doing. But the Jacksonville game was a joke, even though he won't admit that. Okay, how about – even now,
even
2 weeks, 2 weeks later, he snaps at that like there was no problem with that. Yeah, there was a problem with that. And then you do this at the end of the game, and you don't give yourself a chance to win. And listen, there's a lot of close teams in the NFL, and a lot of games are going to come down to this, especially the Texans. And then those decisions can cost you. So make better decisions. But he doesn't. He makes worse and worse. I think he's regressed as a head coach.
I don't disagree. And the either taking blame because he feels like he has to, like, you know.
But he didn't say anything.
It's not actual accountability.
Right.
It's just saying, yeah, I got to fix that. Or in the case of the Jacksonville game, it's just flat out, no, we did everything the right way.
And, oh, won the game. That's the other one. We won the game.
We won the game, yeah. So yeah. Everything was right.
Yeah. And the problem is we're stuck with this. And it's going to be the same thing week after week. And every now and then they're going to play just, you know.
They're going to do what they did last week. They're going to fool
because
you.
Because Watson is talented enough that he's going to have games where he goes off in spite of his coach. Now, yesterday was not one of them. He was bad. And I think part of it is, and I you know, and listen, I don't want to put it all, everything on Bill O'Brien today, because as much as I love Deshaun Watson and think he's a terrific player, yesterday was awful. And, oh, look, he stayed after to work on things with his coach. How about you work on him before the game, buddy? And this whole stay in the pocket and wait and wait and
this
wait
isn't
for
college.
Somebody to get open. Yeah, you cannot do that. And, you know, let's stop blaming the offensive line for him just standing there waiting for somebody to come open, because guess what? It's the NFL. It's harder for guys to get open. And, yeah. Yes, and when they do, don't overthrow them. Because if you make those two plays yesterday, different game, totally different narrative today. But you didn't. And I think part of that was because they were limiting themselves to so few opportunities. But I thought he was off. He wasn't in any kind of rhythm. I think part of it too. This is another question for you. Why the hell is it that you prep for a team all week long and you can't score points in the first quarter? You get out there on that first drive and it's nothing. How is that? How is it that you look at film all week? Remember, I think Andy Reid still does it, where he scripts the first 25 plays, mm-hmm. and the West Coast offense guys used to do that. And you remember how good they were on their first drives all the time? And I just don't understand how they come out so unprepared. Now, they usually make pretty good adjustments. They didn't this game. But how do you do that? Do you come out totally unprepared?
Not only that, but, you stop Carolina on that first drive because – they're running it down your throat, essentially. They get the big pass interference play. They're deep in Texans territory. And they give you a gift, and you can do nothing with it.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a combination
Because of sacks.
Yeah. And I think a combination of really poor coaching and poor quarterback play. And I think for Watson has the potential to be as good as anybody not named Patrick Mahomes. But it's not going to happen without him getting,
I'm tired of hearing about potential, though, Fred.
Well,
I really
but
am.
But that's the thing. I mean, it's not just potential. You look up at the end of the year, his numbers are going to be good. He's going to be right there in the top 10 in the league when it comes to stats.
Okay, congratulations, Houston Texans. Anthony Davis is your quarterback. That's what it boils down to. He's a guy who's going to be putting up a bunch of empty-ass numbers and not winning anything.
Well, point is, it's there. Now do something with it and fix these flaws, because it's the same thing. He talks about, I'm holding the ball too long.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
That's what we talked about week one and two. And then it seems like finally it got through his head. And then week three, he didn't hold the ball too long. Everybody's like, oh my God, look at this. And now week four comes around. What happened? Did you forget what we talked about last week? I mean, I don't know, man. It's just frustrating.
But I mean, again,
So I think it's going to be wasted potential is what it's going to be.
And as long as this guy's here as head coach, yes. Where's the bootlegs where he's able to get outside the pocket and find somebody? Where's the play-action bootlegs, the things that Gary Kubiak used to run brilliantly, frankly?
Isn't it funny how, in hindsight, Gary Kubiak is, I mean, he's such a good coach compared to what's here now. I mean, if you could trade Gary Kubiak for Bill O'Brien today, in a heartbeat, right?
I would right now, I'd trade Bill O'Brien for a warm bucket of spit. I think that he'd be better off with no head coach. As long as you just keep Romeo Crennel doing the defense. I'd almost rather let Watson just go out there and freelance, because that seems to be the only time they score. Just go make some stuff up, dudes. That would be better than what they're doing. So, and the frustrating thing is this is the same conversation we're going to have every other Monday, because they're going to be 1 week where, oh, maybe they get it. And then the next week it's going to be, geez, what about the time management? What about the play calling? And I also think his offense is fundamentally flawed. Let me just go on and throw that out there. Because if you go look, even last week, what were the big plays? Watson creating things. And whatever his system is, which we can't really define other than the fact that they try something different every week based on the other team, which doesn't work, it's flawed. I mean, I think the pass protection's flawed. And he can't stay in the pocket that long. Just sit back there and wait for guys four plays in a row. You can't do it. Nobody's that good. You could throw me the Cowboys' offensive line out there. Dak Prescott can't do that.
No, not for that long.
And that's on the head
coach. And it's the same thing. You're taught this in high school. It's like, once you get to three Mississippi, do something with the ball. It should be gone. And I understand, like, we loud Deshaun for his, you know, playmaking ability and escapability and things like that. It's great. But right now,
that shouldn't be the only way you make plays.
Right. That should be like in an emergency situation. You shouldn't be going into every play expecting to be. I mean, you know who Deshaun looked like yesterday? It looked like when Johnny Football got to the NFL. And it was like, let's just wing it. Let's figure it out. If they come after me, I'll run for a little while. I'll chuck it down there. That's what it looked like.
And Hockley Dan brings up a good point. It's clear this team simply can't run screens well either. That is such an easy play to run in a good situation. And they never do it. You've got Duke Johnson there, who is a...
That's all. It's his only job.
You know, throw screen passes to him. Do it. Please. Do bootlegs. Get outside the pocket.
And don't do... I'm not talking about the screens like where... You're about to get sacked screens, and no. You throw it over your head. Yeah, like you do a spinning throw to Carlos Hyde and get 1 yard.
Yeah, that's not,
that's not what I'm talking about.
That's going to your safety valve. But, yeah, I'm so sick of seeing the same bleep every week. Every week, O'Brien's going to do something.
It's Groundhog Day, and I'm telling you, this team, and maybe I'm overreacting, and people are still don't like to hear me say that the Rockets with James Harden as their best player are never going to win anything. As long as Bill O'Brien's here, I think this team is, their ceiling is what they've been.
Their ceiling is the floor.
Their ceiling is the floor.
their best hope is to go 9-7 and maybe win a playoff game. And that would be as much as I think this crew can accomplish. And it's obvious that they don't care. They think this guy's God, and he's not. And he's not very smart. He never learns from his mistakes. And now, you're right, you're wasting what should be a good offense. There's one other player that I think I want to point a finger at, because I think this whole game came down to those two guys. But throw the interception out. DeAndre Hopkins does not look like the DeAndre Hopkins of last year.
And, no, I mean, the defense is getting tough. I mean, Carolina's got good cover guys, but, man, that's your big playmaker, you know? That's the reason why you can get away with having a couple mishmash running backs out there, because you've got DeAndre Hopkins. And honestly, I shouldn't like down talk the mishmash running backs, because I mean the running game was actually a real strength yesterday and almost underutilized, because they would run the Texans into a good position, a good down and distance, and then they drop back to pass and take a sack and waste it. And now you're in a situation where you can't run. Now, granted, do I want them running on every single first down, which they seem to like to do? No. But they were over 6 yards a carry yesterday. You'll take that.
Yeah, and yet they abandoned the running game.
Yeah. And it's not like the game was out of reach. I mean, you're averaging 6 yards a carry. Didn't it feel, and the Panthers averaged 3.4 yards per carry. Who did it feel like had a more effective running game yesterday? Didn't it feel like the Panthers did?
Yeah, yeah. And they, you know what? They did a good job in the running game against McCaffrey. The Panthers only had two plays over 20 yards. So, I mean, defensively, that's about all you can ask for. Now, they couldn't cover him out of the backfield, but
no.
they can't cover anybody out of the backfield. That's nothing new. But
and they actually did a pretty good job on Greg Olsen, which I was expecting to be a problem area.
I think they've actually fixed that. Gibson's pretty good in coverage against tight ends, and so I think that's been an upgrade. But, yeah, I can't put anything on the defense here.
All right, I got to tell you about my computer career. And if you are in a job that you're not satisfied with, you're not alone. 49% of Americans are unsatisfied with their job, and they're still driving to work, hating their job, hating their boss, hating their paycheck. Why? You've got options. Go to mycomputercareer.edu, take the free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months, even with no experience or training. Helping people start an IT career from scratch, that is what they do. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. Listen, what they do is they help get you into the industry because they work with employers that hire their students directly. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. It's going to be all you need to get going. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon. Go take the free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Joining us now, the legendary Lance Zierlein, co-host of The Bench, 7 to 9, hangs around until 9:30.
Numbers guy.
Yeah, numbers guy.
Right.
And I was listening to you guys this morning because when it comes to football, I love to listen to Lance as much as possible. And you were talking about O'Brien's offense and maybe he needs to simplify it.
Yeah.
Why is the damn thing so complicated to begin with? It's not like you're outsmarting people with it.
I think in in a vacuum, what they would like to do is have wide receivers that read defenses and they give them option routes. And so, like they do it in New England, Tom Brady gets on the same page with his wide receivers in terms of if they see something, they're going to do something. So the offense can flow. The offense theoretically is going to flow based upon what the defense shows them so that they're, in theory, you're always checking to the best possible option, both the wide receiver and quarterback. The problem is acting as though both of those, the quarterback and the wide receivers, are going to be on the same page all the time. You also need offensive line to hold up. You need the quarterback to recognize what defenses are doing to him from a blitzing standpoint. You need a play caller who recognizes, I think, the quarterback's strengths and weaknesses. And I think that's one of the areas where, Bill O'Brien may have to simplify for Deshaun, because I think he's just taking too long to make decisions. He's holding the ball forever. That's a surefire sign that maybe they need to simplify some things so that the ball comes out quicker. And the fact that they haven't done it up to this point is a concern for me.
One of the things that I find continually frustrating is that he keeps making the same mistakes, both in play calls, both in time management, and it just never changes. And I feel like, I watched that damn show Preacher this year, and like every episode was bad, and yet I kept watching because I kind of felt committed since it was last
committed
year.
To
that's
the
me
show?
With the stupid Walking Dead.
Yeah,
that was me with
you can't get out.
That was me with entire season 2 of Westworld last year. I was like, what the hell am I watching?
But then you have to finish.
Get me out of here.
But
yeah,
there is
no finish to this. That's a problem.
Yeah.
As long as O'Brien's here, then we're stuck with this. It is going to be the Walking Dead. It's going to be just as long.
It feels like Westworld. Only Westworld was 2 seasons, but you don't know where it's going now. Like there were times where I saw some promise, and I don't know. And it's funny, it's almost the recency of what happened last, but let's be honest about this. I mean, game 1, good. Game 2, bad. Game 3, good. Game 4, bad. It's not good enough, and it's not good enough for a quarterback who's in his 3rd year. It's not good enough for a head coach who's in his 6th year with the Texans. Deshaun is not consistently improving. I don't see a quarterback who's shown great growth. He continues to have some of the same issues over and over. I think some of Deshaun's stuff is on Deshaun. But I don't think the head coach helps it out. But I think there's a mutually exclusive issue where Deshaun has to get better at certain things and that he has to be accountable for. And he was in the post game yesterday. But Bill O'Brien's mismanagement of the clock, inability to understand how to challenge properly and when to and when not to.
Well, that's just dumb.
This can't continue to happen.
But it does.
I know it does.
We've been having the same conversation
for six years. Where's the accountability?
Well, he took accountability. He said, I got to do a better job.
Nah, coach better, got to play better.
All those answers were all, answers were, these are what you're going to get today, and that's it.
Yeah.
And he didn't open up to more answers until they were direct questions about players who are playing well, like Whitney Merciless. Then he gave longer answers. But we got to coach better. We got to get better. We got to improve.
Basically, it means like, I don't want to talk about it. You know, I don't feel like talking about it. It's like if you cheat on your wife, and then she's like, "Hey, what was going through your head when you did that?" And you just say, "I don't want to talk about that."
Right.
That doesn't work. No, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And you know, my biggest problem with Bill O'Brien right now is that there is no rhythm. There is no rhythm to this offense. Now, there has been at different times this year. I don't want to act like there's never been a rhythm to the offense. There have been. There was, boy, that drive against the Saints where they had that 8-minute drive. I mean, it was beautiful in the first week. And that was a Saints team that really put it on the Cowboys defensively. And Deshaun Watson, the offense, they were moving up and down the field for stretches of that game, especially the entire first half. But at home, this is three straight bad games for Deshaun Watson, three straight bad games for the – and I'm dating, obviously, back to the Colts playoff game.
The other weird thing is the splits on how bad they are at home versus road.
Well, this year. Now, last year I went and looked at Deshaun last year, and the numbers were almost identical, so I couldn't find a pattern there in 2018. But this year so far, the splits are horrible home and away.
And I think you brought it up this morning. Go back to the Colts playoff game is where it started.
Yeah. That's where you could see some of it. You know what I'm concerned about is that it's not like one thing. It used to be with David Carr, you could throw a cover two at David Carr and he was done. You know, the two deep safety, he just did not have he didn't throw with anticipation of dropping in the bucket between corner and safety down the sideline.
I know what it felt like yesterday. Cover two and four was just like kryptonite. He'd never seen it before.
And this is my concern here is they ran the cover four stuff against Deshaun. They were keeping everything in front of him. You know, what you do with that is you say, okay, you're going to give it to me. I'm going to take it. It really shouldn't take long to get rid of the ball if you recognize they're in cover four. They're not going to give it to you deep, so stop looking for it.
Stop trying to get it.
It doesn't make sense. It's like looking
for a knockout. You got 26 tight ends on your roster. I mean,
and when he's looking at tight ends, things go well for him. Historically, when Deshaun is targeting tight ends, he seems to get a better feel for his field vision seems to be better.
Or if Hopkins is on a slant. Anything across the middle of the field's been good for him.
I think the quick passing game gets into a rhythm. And so that's one of the things that I would do is I would go to quick passing games, I would go to tempo, and I would try to get Deshaun into a rhythm because there is such a thing as I thought Johnny Harris had a great comment yesterday on the sideline, a sideline reporter. He said, it's like Houston traffic watching the Texans offense right now. He said, there's times where it opens up and you're like, hey, this isn't that bad. This traffic's pretty good. And then all of a sudden, you're herky-jerky and you can't get a good rhythm going of driving. You're bumper to bumper, then you get a little something going and then it slows down. And that's what it feels like. There's no continuity or flow consistently now from game to game. You can't see two games in a row, which is what we're waiting to see. And it's not like these are world beater defenses. That was not a world beater defense yesterday that the Houston Texans faced. It's a good defense, but if they're trying to let you have the dink and dunk stuff, you could take that, get down the field, and at least be getting threes. One thing I knew about Gary Kubiak offenses is they could move it from the 20 to the 20. The question was going to be, how did Matt Schaub perform in the red zone? They could kick a crap ton of field goals, and if Arian Foster got it inside the five, he was going to score touchdowns. This team right here, I mean, I don't know what the hell it's going to do from game to game. I really don't.
Well, I don't think they know.
They don't.
One question for you is, as a son of a coach, when we talk about preparing for games, First game, 0 points in the first quarter. They got 14 in the second. The rest of the other three, 6 points in the first half against Jacksonville, 3 against the Panthers, 7 against the Chargers. How is it you prep for a team all week and come out and look that unprepared?
Well, you know, they're going to show you some stuff that maybe you have or haven't seen. I think some of it has been the inconsistency with the line, at least for the first two games. And I did think Greg Mann stunk yesterday.
Right. Where was that Fulton?
He hurt his back.
Yeah, he had some kind of stiff back beforehand.
It tightened up in pregame.
Like, and Mance got trucked a couple times.
So he just wasn't on the sideline or anything, huh?
No, he was there.
They said they thought he could have played if he absolutely had to go, well, but they went with Mance. That's what Bill O'Brien said.
Just maybe you could have used him yesterday.
Yeah,
maybe.
Because I can tell you this, he was a big weak link yesterday. So I don't know. The whole preparation thing is, you know, very good first half against the Saints. They fall asleep in the second half. Then they make a little comeback against the Chargers. They fall asleep in first half, really hit the gas in the second half. Now, I can't sit here and tell you that wasn't. Gary Kubiak was – it was even worse. I used to do the number studies where Gary Kubiak, he couldn't put together two good halves. It was very, very rare. But
yeah, and one thing when we – glorify the Gary Kubiak era. You brought up a good point, man. It was field goal central here.
Yeah,
remember how we used to bitch
times.
About how they couldn't get the ball in the end zone
a lot of times, and they didn't get their swagger until Wade Phillips came in as a defensive coordinator and helped get J. Joe and I mean that was him that brought in Jonathan Joseph and Daniel Manning. He was kind of stashing those guys in the middle of the lockout, just saying, hey, if something doesn't go right with Nnamdi Asamoah, if we fail, we want to take that money and bring you two guys in. And Wade was very central in bringing those two guys in, and they were a huge part of what the Texans' only real success. To me, their only real success was 11-12, and that's it. And even then, 12 felt like you went out with a whimper. And 11, I think you had a chance to be a Super Bowl team if Matt Schaub had stuck around and just played average, because you had a lot of components that you need to win at a high level. And you know, they couldn't do it. And since then, these divisions, don't just miss me with all the 9-win division titles. I don't want to hear it.
That's probably irrelevant. What's going to happen this year. The whole division's 2-2.
First to 9 is going to win the division.
Yeah. So the Texans have basically spent 5 high round picks on offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. If you say 3 on Tunsil, 1 on Howard, 1 on Sharping, they're already on pace to give up about 15 more sacks than they did last year. Now, granted, I know not all of it's on the offensive line.
No, a lot of it's not.
But it doesn't feel like everything's just fixed either. I mean,
I don't think it's fixed. I don't think it's fixed. Once again, I think Fulton, you're only as good as your weakest link, and your weak link was really weak yesterday. And I think you're going to be in pretty good shape if that offensive line stays healthy. But they are going to – we're just going to have to get used to the fact that Deshaun Watson is going to hold on, and he's going to make some big plays.
But there's some of these
but
things –
but he's going to hit some strikeouts. He's going to have strikeouts too.
So yesterday, I forget what – it was early in the game, I want to say. It was a first down, 5-yard run. So 2nd and 5, false start on Tunsil. Now it's 2nd and 10.
That's a killer.
Yeah, and now the whole drive is ruined.
You get behind the sticks, and it changes – it changes everything. See, this is really frustrating to me because they also would get away from the run at times. And
they ran well yesterday.
Then you ran the ball, and especially in the second quarter, late in the half, you start really running the ball effectively, and O'Brien goes for that stupid-ass wide receiver pass. I mean, there's no excuse for that play call when you are finally in a rhythm and imposing your will through running game. It made no sense. And not only did it not make sense in terms of the play call, because don't tell me about Hopkins was going to throw that ball regardless.
No matter what.
He
was
going to throw it.
As soon as the play was called,
to throw the ball, he's like, I can't wait. But even with that said, that went from at least 3 into 7 the other way. Potentially 7. It was potentially a 14-point swing. And then they mismanaged clock and gave the ball back to Carolina with another opportunity for Carolina to go get points again. So,
do you have time for another segment, or you got to get out of here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, let's see.
Well, how about you?
Oh, wow.
You do Triangle.
I got to tell you about Triangle Energy. Listen, guys, if you are feeling like you don't trust your energy provider, take a look at Triangle Energy. Simple, honest electricity. That is what they're all about. So when it's hot outside, you can be cool and comfortable inside while enjoying a low electricity rate from Triangle Energy. Stop worrying about your provider. Start saving money with Triangle Energy. Worry-free electricity, that's what they're all about. No hidden fees, no gimmicks, just top-of-the-line energy plans. And they're going to let you lock it in for 12, 24, or 36 months so you can avoid the rate hikes, get locked in at the number that you want, and that's where you stay. Triangle Energy, keeping it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. 877-93-EAGLE or go to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE. TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN, PUCT license number 10064.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Lance Erline's still here. I know A.J. had a few more questions for you before we kicked you out of here.
Well, we were talking about Deshaun, and to me, Deshaun right now is not meeting expectations for year three. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how quick we are to, like, Mitch Trubisky. He had a bad start to year three after a pretty promising year two. I would say coming into the season, expectations were high for Mitch Trubisky.
They were high. They were high.
And he was disappointing, and now everybody's like, oh, my God. I mean, they won that game yesterday because Mitch Trubisky got hurt. They did him a favor.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, should there not be some talk year three, Deshaun doesn't look like he's – really better than he did year one?
Yeah, I'm here to say it. I mean, I said it this morning. I said it earlier. It's just he's not progressing. And at some point, you look at coaching. At some point, there's truth in the fact that it's on the quarterback. I mean, it's never one thing. I know people want it to be one thing because it's easier to compartmentalize. It's easier to fit your narrative. But, I mean, whatever the truth is just a truth. I don't care about narratives and all that. The truth is Deshaun Watson is responsible for some of his own issues. The other truth is I don't believe that this head coach is doing a very good job of helping him to grow because this head coach – I say that because this head coach is also the quarterback guy. He's the play caller. He's everything, right? He's everything. And he hasn't done enough to put Deshaun Watson – in a position to succeed. Some of that is eliminating. And I told this story, and I think you heard this. Carson Palmer, the Bengals had to eliminate part of their offense and say, we got to simplify for Carson Palmer. And they had success once they simplified for Carson Palmer. Well, that's the head coach slash OC's job. And in this case, it's the same guy. That's his job to do that. That's Bill O'Brien's job to do that. And it's not getting done. And so some of that falls on Deshaun Watson's shoulders, and he's the first one to tell you that. He knows. I mean, Bill O'Brien refuses to say he refuses to put anything on Deshaun. A lot of these questions he could have answered, and he will occasionally say, we got to get the ball out quicker, or we're working on that, or stuff like that. But he has to be careful about he doesn't want to throw Deshaun under the bus, because in this day and age, it'll turn into the lead story on, you know, you got to be careful what you say, because it will turn into the lead story on SportsCenter. It'll turn into the lead story on all the talking head shows. And so he's got to be careful with what he says in public about Deshaun. But behind the scenes, Deshaun's got to get better. With all that said, if he doesn't progress, it's on O'Brien and he's gone. Because the buck has to stop there.
When, though? I mean,
yeah, that's
what's a
when can we get rid of him?
Please. What's a reasonable time they could possibly move on from him?
I think if this season goes further south, and right now it's 2-2, it's an 8-8 season. No one's going anywhere on 8-8. But I've always felt this way. And John's like, no, anything short of like a 2-3 win season, there's no chance. I still feel like you have to let seasons play out because see how they make you feel. It's easy to say, oh, 8-8, that number's not going to get Bill O'Brien fired, or even 6 wins or whatever. How do you feel about the season, though? And if your feeling is my quarterback is not getting better or is regressing in some ways, then I don't think it's crazy that Cal McNair – now, it's going to cost them money to get rid of him this early, and why they gave him the extension early, I don't know, but you
– not only that, he set this job up So where if they do fire him, the next guy's in a hole because he doesn't have first round draft picks.
Right.
I mean, it's just a bad
situation.
The next
GM and the next head coach. But here's the problem. If your quarterback isn't getting better, you have now spent two first round picks on a tackle to help your quarterback. You've spent two.
Three.
Yeah, well, the second. Right. I mean, even if you want to throw Kenny Stills in there, that's not the equivalent of a second round pick.
No.
Kenny Stills is the equivalent of a fifth.
But you spent two on Tunsil and one on Howard.
Yeah.
So
right.
You spent three first round
picks.
Yeah,
and a second rounder on Max Sharping. And then you spent an additional pick. I don't say two first rounders for. Yeah. I mean, yes, you gave up an additional first round pick for Deshaun Watson. So everything is pushed all in for Deshaun Watson. You pushed all your chips in on Deshaun Watson. So if Watson, and who is a wildly talented player.
Certainly.
I love his potential. And there are times where I think he is definitely one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. But you want to get him there on a consistent basis. If your head coach is not doing that, if your play caller is not doing that, right now the play caller would be under duress and could eventually get fired because he's not.
So but who's the play caller?
That's exactly right. And so I'm interested to see if Bill O'Brien holds himself accountable and pushes that duty to Tim Kelly.
Because I think about this, like when I think about the best young quarterbacks in the league, and do I think Deshaun Watson is more talented than Jared Goff? Yes. Do I think Jared Goff, I mean, to this point, has certainly had a better career than Deshaun Watson. It's not even debatable. Guy went to a Super Bowl. But a lot of it is he's with the right guy. Yeah, Carson Wentz is with the right guy. He's getting more out of his guy than what he probably should. Sean McVay is certainly getting more out of his guy than he probably should. I think Frank Reich is getting more out of Jacoby Brissett than he probably should be getting. Mm-hmm. All these young quarterbacks with these coaches who are actual good quarterbacks, even Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes anywhere would be really good.
I did too.
But, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is a cartoon character with Andy Reid.
But Andy's special. Yeah. I mean, Andy's going to be one of those special offensive minds of all time. But Patrick, I think Mahomes would succeed anywhere. But
you're stunting the growth of your guy right now. And at some point you go – I mean, had Jared Goff spent his first 3 years with Jeff Fisher, do you think Jared Goff still be a starting quarterback in the league?
Be tough. Well, you could say whatever
Josh
you want
Rosen
about.
Had one bad year, and you're out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no patience anymore.
That team, I know we got to break it. That team, now, but Deshaun has had some success, too, with Bill O'Brien as his head coach and play caller and OC.
Some success.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some success.
If you'd asked me before the season, who do you want long-term, Dak or Deshaun? I wouldn't have even blinked.
I'm still not blinking.
Dak with Kellen Moore or Deshaun with Bill O'Brien?
Well, that's...
This is the marriage Moore, that's set up.
Yes. Now, you're right. But I'm picking the player because Bill O'Brien cannot last for
it's like,
too long if they don't
Lance,
win.
Lance, you're with your wife and you're like, okay, we can hang out with...
these wife scenarios, Fred.
We can hang out with couple A, who they're both pretty cool, or couple B, where the dude's really cool, but the wife is a raging bitch. You just hang out with the okay couple. There's no raging bitch involved.
that's
Bill O'Brien is a raging bitch. He's making me not want to hang out with Deshaun. And I'm over there looking at Dak and Kellen Moore, and I'm like, oh, they're all right.
Yeah.
I'll hang out with those guys.
They're okay to hang out with.
I'm never like, at the end of the double date, I'm never like, God, why do we do this to ourselves? And that's what you get with Bill O'Brien.
Little diminutive quarterbacks with pop gun arms make the best play callers because they know they've had to outsmart guys. They to stick around, Kellen Moore had to figure out, man, what do I do? So he's always playing a chess match, and it's easier for him to get into the mind of the quarterback. And Bill O'Brien was not a college quarterback. Bill O'Brien was a college linebacker, I think. He was not
a
college
quarterback.
He's a whisperer. I'm telling you now.
No, he went to Brown. That makes him a genius.
Yeah, you got to stop with this. He knows about quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He's not made one quarterback better in this league. I shouldn't say that. He's not made one quarterback good enough to be a star starting quarterback in this league.
I just look at it like this.
And if Sean McVay can turn Jared Goff into a star quarterback.
He was the first pick. And I don't think he's a star.
But
you think Jared Goff is a star? I think he's a good quarterback that needs guys around him.
Yeah, but he's got the guys around him.
He's got them.
You know, yeah. And
he's a star right
what
now.
What does a star player do? He either makes other players around him look better or those players make him look better. So, yeah, I would say he's a star.
You think he's a star?
Yeah.
See, I don't think doesn't fit my definition of star.
Speaking of stars.
Where you build teams around him.
Speaking of stars, you need to tell them about
Texas Star Grill Shop. Speaking of stars, they got Star Grills. going on. We were having a ton of pizza the other day. Ryan Savoy from St. Arnold's out there, he's their chef, and he was doing pizzas in the Alpha pizza oven that they have, which is an Italian, I mean, direct from Italy, is an Italian pizza oven. That thing is so cool. I mean, I'm telling you, you've got to go check that out. But if you are someone who you want to step your barbecuing game up and you say, it's time for me to get those wood pellets where you get the great smoky flavor and the great juicy barbecue every single time, make sure that you go to Texas Star Grill Shop. They've got great sales going on right now with assembly and delivery guaranteed. All you have to do is make sure you stop in there and take a look at the wide variety of grills that they have available for you, including gas grills, Big Green Eggs, and all amenities in between. TexasStarGrillShop.com, 2045 Southwest Freeway, or you can stop in at 8095 Louetta and Spring. It's TexasStarGrillShop.com.
ESPN 97.5.